What's up, guys? It's your boy, Fisher Enrico. Welcome to another episode of the Self-Approved Podcast. If you forgot what this podcast is about, it's about spreading love and positivity. This week's episode, we're going to be talking about how you should be a chameleon or not. I'm going to go ahead and do what the boy JL do and keep it short and sweet. So let's get into the episode. It's your boy, Official Rico and
J.O. Stacks.
Let's get into the conversation.
So this week's episode, I'm actually pumped because it's going to have different elements to it. It's one of those conversations that has multiple meanings to it. I was going to come in with just one viewpoint, but as I looked into it more, I'm like, hey, there's different angles at this. So I'm very pumped to see this conversation unfold as... Because it's been a while, too. We haven't, since we did our last Mother's Day episode on a Sunday, I think we piggybacked two episodes on a weekend, so we haven't been on air for, it feels like a lifetime.
It literally feels like a lifetime, and we normally do these episodes, like, in the wee bits of the morning, and it's...
We see sunlight right now, people, so...
4 o'clock.
It's a totally different vibe.
This is totally
Sunday different. Sunday
fun
day in the middle of the day, but I think we'd maybe have a little bit more energy, especially after last night's craziness. We're not going to get into that stuff.
That's just the whole episode by itself.
I might be in some legal trouble myself if we mention anything. So you're a chameleon.
Actually, you know what? Here's the thing. I knew that you were going to want to go that way, but the reason I didn't tell you is because I wanted to throw you off. Because of both. We're not chameleons. We stand out.
Right.
But, you know, a chameleon blends into anything it goes in, and that's actually a good defense mechanism for them. So, a chameleon, or chameleons, are a distinctive and highly specialized clade of old world lizards with over 160 species described as of June 2015, these species come in a range of colors, and many species have the ability to change colors. When we talk about a chameleon, just like we just said, a chameleon is known for the blending in, right? And it's their defense mechanism. It's to blend in so they don't get eaten or get killed, or it's so they can blend in and go after their food without getting caught. So there's two sides of this. And both of those are actually great traits to have. When you are in the real world and when you are going after what you want, and something that I helped confirmed what I was thinking about for this episode last night, is sometimes you just have to blend in.
Very true.
Sometimes it's not for you to stand out. Sometimes you should fade into the background, because then it becomes too much, becomes overwhelming. So, like you said, this can come from so many different ways. First way I want to talk about is about the blending in. Sometimes, again, it gets really overbearing when there's 15,000 strong personalities. And it might have been just about 8 of us, but it was like 16,000 personalities. And you don't want to get, I don't want to call it attacked by it. But yeah, because when you don't blend in, again, when they don't blend in, they stand a chance of being grabbed up, being eaten, being taken as prey or whatever. And it's kind of the power of blending in. You have to read the room, I would say. That the power of blending in, reading the room, knowing what you need to accomplish and knowing what you can do to not stand out sometimes.
Right.
Because as an actor, it's always and forever a thing for me to stand out. And whatever I do, whatever I wear, I have to stand out because that's what they're looking for. When you go into an audition of 25, you know, people or 200 people, you have to stand out. You have to not be a chameleon at that point. You have to change that color and let, you know, that color be shown.
I was going to say, it's actually nice the definition you gave, how it's a defensive mechanism for chameleons. I think from the human element, it's a defensive and offensive game. Especially, too, as you said, in a big room. We'll just use a party, for example. I'm a big believer in the loudest person in the room is the weakest. So in a lot of scenarios ain't like that, I will sit back. When I know that there's too many strong personalities, I'll sit back and analyze. Because when the person is being loud, I can sit back and just watch them. Not in a creepy way, of course. But I can break them down and I can see what more of their weaknesses. I can sit back without any attention on me. So while these people are playing their cards, I'm in the back sitting, analyzing. So that is the, I guess you can say, is the offensive element of it.
Yeah, it's like showing up at a poker game.
Right.
You don't bluff. I guess I'm saying like when you have that poker face, it means you're not showing anything on your face.
Mm-hmm.
And so just exactly what you said, at a poker table, if you want to show that you don't have any expression on your face because you're analyzing what other people are thinking, you're analyzing what is going on in the surroundings, you're analyzing what I need to play in order to win, right? And so with that being said, hand in hand with being a chameleon, you want to blend in so you can win.
Exactly.
Sometimes it takes the art of blending in so that you can win.
And then we'll use the example, obviously, again, with, say, a party. There's alcohol involved. When you sit back and blend in with the surroundings around you, the likelihood of being in any sort of drama drops tenfold.
That's 100% true.
If you're in the mix, you're being loud, you're being obnoxious, there's so much focus on you, the chance of getting into any type of drama increases tenfold again. So again, it's really picking your battles. You got to know when to, you know, as you said, as an actor, even as a business person, when you're networking, you have to take those opportunities to step into the limelight. You got to stay blended, but again, that's what a chameleon does. He blends in with the colors, but he knows when it's safe to come back out
exactly.
And show himself.
And it's because he's stepped back long enough, stepped out of the situation in order to see the situation.
That's the thing, a chameleon, he changes color, but he's still
exactly.
watching.
He's still watching. Yeah, you know? He's still watching. He's changing his color. He's still watching. He's still analyzing. But I was always told that you can't see the storm if you're in the eye of it.
Exactly.
And so with that being said, like chameleons find out that they're like, all right, so I know I need to pay attention to this, but what I'm going to do, I'm just going to step back a bit. I'm going to watch everybody else, see what they're doing, see which way they're going, and then I'm going to counterattack what they're doing.
Right.
And then when I counterattack what they're doing, I have a better chance at winning. And if we're comparing these, so doing so many different metaphors, and we talk about the tortoise and the hare.
Right.
The tortoise and the hare, the hare thought he was just super fast, so he thought he was going to take a break. While even though the tortoise didn't change colors, he still kind of blended into the background.
Totally forgot about him.
People totally forgot about him.
Took
That's
him by
exactly
surprise.
Where I'm going. Is that even though you don't have to, I'm not saying that you have to change like hair colors or change the way your outfits are or anything like that. But if you become one of those tortoise people where you've blended in, people totally forgot about you. And now you can sit back, you can analyze and be like, oh, this is this person, this is what this person is doing, this person is arrogant, this person has all of these personalities. And then you're like, all right, I'm going to counteract this. And now I'm going to attack you. And it's going to be a surprise attack because you didn't think I could do it. You had already threw me to the curb. You had already didn't think I was going to do anything because you totally forgot about me. And what normally happens when we forget about things, it scares the life out of us when it surprises us. It happens all the time. And so with that being a chameleon and fading into the background, like I said, it's the power blending in. The power blending in, the power of winning. Sometimes you have to blend in to win. That's a good soundbite.
There it is right there. And that's the thing, too. It's one of those situations where equality over quantity. You could be that person who's just talking to everyone, being loud, obnoxious again, right? Or when you make yourself known, it's going to be a quality moment. When you make yourself, that's one of the things I like to do. I'm not always talking to everybody, but when I do speak, it's of value. Half the time, there's some people we know.
Exactly.
Very well.
Yeah.
Who are talking nonstop all day, every day. Their words are less meaningful, and the value per word goes down. So, when I come in, I said, I analyze the room. I'm like, okay, here we go. This is my time to shine. And then people will take notice to that and be like, okay, he's actually saying shit that's worth value.
Right. And then they want to pay attention.
Exactly.
Because you're not being over exaggerated. You're not always one of those people that's trying to steal the attention because they're needy for attention. It's your words have, like you said, they have value.
Right.
Okay, for example, I remember sitting in one of our class discussions when I was in school, and I remember it so clearly. We all were talking about a situation, and one of the girls get offended because she thinks we're trying to, like, discredit where she came from, and she's thinking that we're all trying to attack her, and we're like, we're not. We're just from the South, and you're not. And we know these things. So I read the room, and I blended in. And I was just like, you know what? When I talk, I'm going to analyze everything. I'm going to go ahead and get everything together mentally, put all my words together. And when I said something, it literally was being on the same level as what everybody else was thinking. There were more power to it because I wasn't trying to rebuttal every time she said something. I stepped back. And I was like, okay, this is what I'll say, and this is what I'll say, and I'll counteract this, and then I'll come here. And if you think about it, even from being in that class, when you think about, like, political debates, you have that one person that's always trying to speak, always trying to attack, but then you also have the other person that's just blending in, because they know what their thoughts are, they know, I'm going to get them here, I'm going to surprise them right here, I'm going to say this, and that'll win them.
Right.
And then they let that one person, they let them get everything they need to say out. And then they talk. And as soon as they could say, the baby used the bathroom. But when they say it, they have so much power behind it. And now everybody wants to hear, because I haven't heard you talk the whole time. And so now when you say something, I really should listen, because it's like, whoa, you talked. Even in an example, like, there's somebody we know that they don't ever talk. We didn't even know what their voice sounded like.
Still don't.
And then I think we might have heard him say, like, two words. And then we're like, whoa, they talked.
And you listen.
And you listen because you're like, wait, that's a different sound.
Yeah.
And when it comes to that sound of being not as, like, you know, the sound of talking, but it's a different sound of, what are they coming at me with? It's not, it becomes more intellectual or more, yeah, I would say intellectual when it comes around that type of thing. But yeah, so for being a chameleon and blending in, the art of blending in is the art of winning. So
I agree with that. And I'll actually kind of skew the conversation into another phase of this conversation I'm going to talk about, and it's the mirror method. So I'm not too sure if you're familiar with that, but that's when you are speaking with someone, you always mirror their actions or how they're acting. So in situations, if someone's being hostile, the best chance to get across to them is to also be hostile. So coming into the whole chameleon element as well is really knowing who you're speaking with and getting across to them. Because people are more receptive when there's someone acting the same way. They're going to listen to, okay, this guy, he's on the same vibe as me.
Yeah.
And there's been many times where I'll be dealing with someone, like, I'm a pretty nice guy. I'm Canadian. You know, so I'm
exactly.
I'm usually nice. But when you deal with, you know, when you're dealing with clients, you're dealing with so many different people out in the world, there's times where you get that one asshole.
Of course.
And you try and be civil at first. They're not going to understand until you mirror them and become one with them and exactly how they're acting. You do the exact same thing to them. It's basically a slap in the face.
Exactly.
The chameleon comes in like, hey, you know what? I'm going to blend into your vibe.
Exactly.
And that's when they listen. And that's a really good sales tool for anybody out there.
Speaking about that, like when you said it, I was like, that doesn't make sense. I don't know what you're talking about. And now that I do, that makes a lot of sense. And I was just thinking about, while you were saying that, I was thinking about also how when we don't use the mirror method, and we we don't even counteract. We just come at them with a different vibe. I've seen many times, you know, somebody got into an argument, but the other person is just sitting there looking at them, and it totally throws them off.
Mm-hmm.
So using that mirror method is being able to match their energy, but also being very receptive and let them know that we're right here. We're right here. Or let them believe that we're right here. Because something that a camouflage something that a chameleon do is camouflage, and sometimes I think that has to do with matching energy. Maybe I see that it's a snake coming, right? And he's trying to get at me. And I'm like, all right, I already know I could potentially lose this fight because they're very snappy. But snakes are very analytical as well. They're very strategic, along with a chameleon. They're very strategic. And then I'm going to come in and we'll just match your energy. So while you're vibing low, I'm going to vibe low. I'm going to move and we're going to watch each other. And then when you try to attack, I can come back with my attack too, just as powerful as your attack. It's because I've been on that same level. I blended in with your vibe and I'm on that same level. So I feel where you're going. And now that we're here, we're both here. And then you're like, oh, wait, I'm going back off because that wasn't as, like, that person wasn't as soft as I thought they were. And that, and some people take quiet people to be weak. Can't take somebody's quietness for weakness because those are the main ones. Those chameleons are the main ones that come and they snap.
Because they bark and bite at the same time. Because they're already, they already seen you play.
Exactly. They've seen what you can do. And they're like, you know what? Nah, it's not a big deal.
That's saying if we're both calm, having a calm conversation, we're going to listen to each other. But if exactly. I'm calm and you're being hostile, I'm not going to listen. Or vice versa. If I'm hostile, you're calm, it's just not going to work.
It's not going to work.
But if we're both hostile, yeah. We're going to listen.
Oh, somebody's going to hear something. Whether you hear the whole thing or not, you're going to hear.
Yeah.
But with somebody, like I said, it throws you off when you're hostile and somebody else is calm.
Because a lot of times, too, when someone's being hostile, they know that they're coming from a position of, I'm using the quote signs here, a power. Yeah. They're trying to bully you into a thought or into doing something.
Yeah.
But when you hit them back with the same thing, they're not expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of the times they're like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, you actually gain a lot of respect from your opponent because usually in a hostile situation, they're opposing you in some type of way.
Exactly.
When you match the energy, you're like, oh, shit, I should probably take this guy seriously.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people out there that will try and bully you through words, and then, you just got to hit them back with it. Blend in.
Not even going to sugarcoat it. We know somebody that's just like that. And for example, we got into it because they thought that they could just say whatever. I am normally a chameleon. And what I mean by that is I normally blend in. I'll talk to you. I'll vibe with you. I'll be that little outgoing person. But once we get to a place where you think you could run over me and bully me, then you're going to see me attack back. And you thought that you had the energy, but when I bring it, there's going to be more. Like, if you were to walk in, knowing me, and you walk in and you see me going off, you're going to be like, whoa, something's going on if that person is going off because they don't normally go off. They're normally friendly and nice to everybody. You're going to pay more attention to why the hell is this person going off.
It's got
to
be serious.
It's got to be serious. I don't go off unless it's something serious. And, like, that day, it was serious because, you know, they thought that they could just run over me and just do whatever. And I was like, oh, I might be short, might be small compared to you, but I promise you, my bite hurts.
Right.
When I bite, it hurts.
So what, this, it's not the size of the dog, it's the fight in the dog or something like that? I don't know if that's the word.
Bark, the size of... We never get these quotes right. We always try to...
We're like 50-50. We hit them sometimes.
We hit it sometimes.
It's like George Bush. It's not the bark of
the bite dog. It's...
Can't get fooled again.
The bark of the dog. Let's see if we can figure this out. Because now I want to know.
It's not the size of the dog. It's the fight in the dog. No. It's something very similar to that.
It's something about the bark, though.
It's something to do with... I know fight's in there. It's not the fight and the dog. It's the dog and the fight. It's not the dog and the fight. It's the fight and the dog. There it is, dog.
That's not the saying that we were thinking.
I don't think that was the one. No, I... Okay. I give up. Anybody, just tell us. It's not the bark of the dog. It's the fight and the dog.
It's not the dog and the fight. It's the fight and the dog.
We don't know.
Maybe that's
If not, that's going to be a J.O. Stacks quote.
That's
no, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog.
You were close. You were really close. Say that again.
It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog.
I missed the size part.
You were close, though. You were way closer to me. I thought it was something about the bark.
I feel like there's two different ones, because there's one.
Exactly, right? We're on the same level here.
Shout out to production manager Caden G for getting out for us.
Information right in there. What was I saying? Oh, right. I might be small, but the fight that comes out of me is even bigger. And ever since I matched that energy, or I showed them that I could also attack, I had that bite behind me, they haven't tried it anymore. Not at all. So that blending in of the chameleon still can be a good thing.
And I think that pulls us into the third point, or the third discussion point I had for this episode. And it's all about adaptation, always adapting to your surroundings. And I think this is a skill set that can only be perfected by moving out of your hometown or comfortable surroundings. I've been very lucky that I've been able to move it to multiple cities and meet numerous people. I'm a very introverted person, so I'm not, you know, it's hard for me to get into circles. But when I'm in there, I know how to adapt to my surroundings. I can get, when I actually get into the room, I know what to do. And you can only learn that by getting out of your comfortable zone. And that's where, again, the defensive mechanisms is actually from the human elements. It's offensive and defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only fine-tune the skill set by getting out to the real world and experiencing new things. You can't learn if you're blending in to the same thing day in and day out. You have to get out to new shit.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. And you know what? It's funny because, I mean, that's just true. But also, have you figured out how we couldn't talk in this episode? This is just an episode of us, like, just mashing and messing up words.
That's why we like editing. Post-production. Fix it in the post.
Seriously, I thought the only thing I was going to say is I agree. I wasn't going to go anywhere with that one. I like the way that you said that. Yeah. That was it for me. Wow.
All right. Well, I got one more thing. So before the episode, I just did a little Google search. It wasn't too much research on my behalf, but I came across this quote that I think is going to bring this whole conversation full circle. And it's from a guy named John Green. Don't really know who he is, I believe.
John Green is a YouTuber. He also has... I'm sorry. John Green is a YouTuber. He's an author, and he wrote the book and, you know, helped create the movie A Fault in Our Stars. And he does these crash courses for history.
Okay, and it says his references An Abundance of Catherine, so I'm not too sure if that's a YouTube sketch or a book he wrote.
A book he wrote, more than likely. This man is an author.
Okay, so the book, or the quote itself is, "The problem with chameleoning your way through life is that it gets to the point where nothing is real."
Sheesh.
Which it kind of comes back to that last point is that, you know, there's the whole notion of fake it till you make it. But you have to be authentic with yourself. Being a chameleon and blending in too many different times, you lose sense of who you truly are. Because you're trying to adapt to the people around you. And you can lose a true sense of yourself during that. So it's one of those slippery slopes where you have to be able to adapt to your surroundings all the time. But you have to be wary of what's real and what's not. That was the one quote I was able to find. And thank you for actually enlightening me on who this guy is. He's actually a well-known author. So
yeah, actually, he's really cool.
So this,
that's how I got through high
school. It's a quote of value.
It's a quote of value. That's how I got through high school, though. I, like, watch a bunch of his crash courses. They're really helpful. Quotes are great, right? So, found the quote, and it says, "The most innocent creature in the world is chameleons. Even the silliest person can notice it changing its colors. Humans also change colors, but are hardly noticeable." Again, it literally goes with what you said, the quote of value, right? Because when I see a chameleon change colors, we hardly ever see it. But when we do, the attention is on them. The attention is on the chameleon as it changes colors. I get your attention. I get your full attention at that. Humans are always changing colors. They're always, like you said, blending in, being other people. And now you're not worth anything to me. Because I continue to see the same thing. But when I don't see the same thing, it's when I'm intrigued. That's walking into a casting room. They see probably the same thing out of 200 people. Probably 150 of them give them the same exact performance. But what intrigues them and get callbacks is the 20 people that do something different. And are like, whoa, we're going to call you back for that. Because, and I've seen it before. I had a friend that went to an audition, and this audition thing was on TV. I'm not going to say the name because we're not sponsored by it.
But
this thing was on TV, and she went into this audition, and the reason why she called their attention is because everybody else started at the middle of the song. She walked in, she started at the end, and it immediately caught their attention, and they were like, whoa, okay, stop. You're the first person today out of 300 people that started at the beginning of the song. Everybody else started in the middle, and it caught their attention. And then they called her back in and was like, can you sing something else for us? Not that they didn't see the potential or they didn't hear the potential already, but it was just the fact that they found or heard something new other than hearing, like, the old crap that they've been hearing the whole time, if that makes sense. I don't know if I made sense. Did I make sense?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. So here's one of my points that I wanted to make with this episode. Also, like I said at the beginning, chameleons are known for blending in, but sometimes they don't. And sometimes in my position, me being an actor, like I said, it's great that I'm not a chameleon most of the time. Of course, I'm just like any other human. You know, I got the word boss tattooed on me, B-A-W-S-E. It was coined by Lily Singh. She's a big YouTuber. She goes by IceWomanII. I will always and forever love to talk about her. Also, a lot of the things that you hear, some of my tips and tricks, comes out of her book, How to Be a Boss. You should go and buy it. It's great. Anyway, the definition of a boss is a human being who exudes confidence, turns heads, reaches goals, finds inner strength, gets hurt efficiently, and smiles genuinely because they've made it through everything they've been through. And a lot of people say that the double-handed emoji, like, praise thingy are for them. Where was I going with this? Oh, right. A boss knows that it's not always good to blend in. Sometimes you have to stand out. Sometimes you need to turn heads. When I walk into a room, especially into a casting room, since we've been using that, when I walk into a casting room, I immediately want them to turn and look at me. Because some of them, they're talking, they're going through, you know, the other person's stuff. There's those times where you get those certain people walking in there, and you're like, who's that? You have to double take, and they immediately catch your attention. You might have been looking down, and then you see the way they walk in, and you're just like, oh, hi, ready whenever you are. And, like, they're here. Everything is present for that moment. So sometimes it's not always good to be a chameleon and blend in. Yes, you add value when you don't really, you know, when you blend in a lot and you don't really be seen. You attack your attack is more vicious. You come in stronger, right? But when you take the other side of this and you say a boss shouldn't be a chameleon because they should be the ones turning heads and reaching goals and coming in and everybody can see who they are. And not being overbearing, not being overdramatic, but if I walk into a room and stand there, I feel like every eye should be on me. Not because I'm bigger than anybody, not because I am egocentric or anything, but it's because of my presence. It's because I know what I'm doing. It's because I know what I have. But I'm also humbled by it, because a boss is also humble. They're not arrogant either. There's somebody that's going to be on one of the later episodes, but they told me, they said, and I quoted it on my Instagram, they said that a writer should have arrogance and humbleness in writing. And I think that also applies to acting. An actor should have arrogance and humbleness in acting. Sometimes you have to show that you are tough, that you can take on these things, that you are confident, really confident in who you are. But other times, I was telling somebody, the only way that you go up is to stoop down. You can't go up any further because you're already too tall.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to be short and grow. So that's like the other side of being a chameleon. It's great to be one, but also, again, a chameleon knows when it's time to blend in, when it's time to stand out.
And I just want to wrap it up with the core principles, the core underlying principles of this episode is just be mindful of the people and the surroundings around you, but also be truly authentic to who you are. That's like the main principles that I hope anyone takes out of this conversation. So you are a chameleon.
Or are you? We don't know.
That was some hella timing. That was good.
Like self-approved podcast? Well, the Podcoin app pays you to listen to this podcast and every podcast. It's the podcast player that pays. Just get the Podcoin app on iPhone or Android. It's free and super easy to use. You can use the PodCoin you earn to claim gift cards or donate to charity. It literally is amazing. It turns your podcast listening into charity, or if you like, just get some Amazon or Starbucks gift cards. I use the PodCoin app to do all my podcast listening now, and I love it. Go get it on the App Store or on on Android or iPhone today. Seriously, just go get the PodCoin app and use invite code self-approved. You'll get 300 PodCoin just for signing up if you use my code. That's 300 PodCoin just for signing up if you use the code SELFAPPROVED. Go give the PodCoin app a try today.
Guys, it's time for Twitter Me This. Da-da-doo. If you don't know what Twitter Me This is, it's where we pick two Twitters. And we talk about why we like them, why we don't. Honestly, it's just a chance for us to talk about foolishness on Twitter or something really good on Twitter. So, JL, I think you should start us off.
So this brings us back to our previous episode of You're an Architect. This one's by Young Guru. It's at Young underscore Guru. And the tweet is, just because you can analyze and critique it doesn't mean you can create it. There is a huge difference. And that, with the social media age, that's a big topic because everyone is easy or quick to go analyze and critique everyone's shit, but they don't have the capabilities of creating it themselves. Unless you're in a position to actually create something of that magnitude that that you're talking about, you're in no position to say anything.
At such a rare breed with the threes, I was like, okay, whatever. Such a rare breed. Said, your own family will talk shit about you when you're in the process of breaking all their generational curses. This ain't for the weak. Quoted by Denzel Washington. And I like that. I was just scrolling and I saw that and I was like, we are always trying to undo some things that our family's done. We're trying to change a lot of the stuff that our family has done traditionally. And I'm pretty sure it's a totally different podcast to talk about the breaking of tradition. But a lot of the times nowadays, especially nowadays, tradition can be a bad thing because the world has changed so much. We can go a little further if you talk about that. But sometimes you have to break tradition. But it's always the ones that you are helping are the ones that's talking shit. Or the ones that's helping you, you're talking shit. You don't treat them like you should, just in general. And we saw that at this party. Last night.
That no one's going to talk about.
That no one's
going to talk about. On this episode, at least. On this episode. That's the X-rated after-hours show. There we go. That would
be good. All right, next one.
So my second one, as a big basketball fan, everything, I always like to have basketball analogies, so this works perfectly.
Yeah, you just used the football one.
So this one's from former NBA player Rod Strickland. He's at Rod underscore Strickland. And it is, you can't hide from competition forever. At some point in time, it will come down to how focused you are on basketball, your work habits, have you been tested enough to be comfortable with struggle, and are you humble enough to embrace your flaws to get better? And that kind of actually comes back to the last Twitter me this, is that it's easy to sit back and analyze and critique, but you have to get into the game sometimes. And until you get into the game, into that fiery competition, you're really in no position to say anything. So you can work hard, play hard, but until you actually get the work done, you should really keep your mouth shut.
Can we please put in the snippet of Get Your Head in the Game from High School Musical? Just like 2 seconds.
Make a note of it.
All right, I'll remember that, I think. So my next one, I forgot who tweeted it. Let's just say I did.
Okay.
So I just saw a meme, and it's just hella funny to me because of all this craziness going on in the world. It was just an old lady that, like, is on her phone, and it just says, hello, Jesus, put your sandals on and come down here. It's an emergency. And it's because of all, like, the stupidness going on with the abortions and women should do whatever they want with their body, I think. But we won't get into that in this one, but I'm just saying, it was really funny to see that, especially in the context of what's going on.
Do you know what, please? Let's just dive right into the not too deep, because mine is actually about the whole abortion thing.
Mine is too.
Well, there we go.
So let's do it. Y'all know what not too deep is, right? We're just going to talk for 5 minutes about something that's really deep. That's what she said. Go.
Well, I don't think we even need a timer on this because it's going to be quite short and to the point. So as you all know, this whole Alabama abortion debacle.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I was thinking about this other day. The people of Alabama, they are truly the ones to blame here. They elect these officials that have put forth these bills and made it law. And I'm pretty sure that all these people were consistent with their words on their campaign trails. It's not like they're brought something out of left field and like, you know what? We're going to ban abortion. I know for a fact they were running on these principles. Mm-hmm. They voted them in. And I think at this point too, how Alabama is, I think a lot of the people there are actually pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
So the people of Alabama are for it. But, you know, the other states looking into, you know, California, New York, to us, it's like, hey, that's just crazy. That's crazy talk. You know, the people of Alabama voted them in, so there's really nothing we can do about it. But the whole thing is there's actually this greater strategy from the Republicans to actually undermine this and take it to the Supreme Court. So that's like the long-term game that they're playing. But it all starts with the voters. They've had opportunities to vote these people out. They voted them in because they speak for their ideals.
Right.
So at the end of the day, you can blame the lawmakers all you want, but the lawmakers are only in power by the people who voted them in.
I definitely agree. I think my short and sweet thing was literally going to just say, women should do whatever they want with their bodies. Women should be the ones making laws about their bodies, not men, and vice versa. I just feel like we don't know the pain that women feel every day or that once a month. We shouldn't be, especially when it comes down to the abortion thing, especially if a woman has been raped. I think if they want to make that decision to not have something like that, reminding them of that horrible thing that happened, I think they have the right to. There's so much that, of course, and so many people that will disagree with the statement. But when it comes to that, I just think it's foolishness. And I agree with you. They do what the people want. And so while we are or were attacking the law, the officials about this, I think it's the people we should be worried about. The people are the ones with the power, actually, especially when it comes to this. It's not like a presidential election. You know what I mean? It's a law that you have to vote on. And when we vote on it, that's what it becomes. And the people voted on it. So I saw this picture on Instagram that really complements what we just talked about. It's a bunch of women uterus parts. And the very last one has a red elephant over it. And I, one, thought it was funny. But the poster simply says, "Something here does not belong. Keep your politics out of my uterus." Meaning, women should do what they want with their bodies, and men shouldn't be voting on it. Just point blank simple. I think that just, that's my argument to this whole thing, is women should do whatever they want to their bodies, however they want to, if it's not killing them.
If you look at all the faces who made this law happen, white men.
Yeah, all white men. And that's...
Actually, ironically, though, I think it's the governor. She was actually a woman. So a woman actually signed it officially into law.
Yeah, but something apparently came out about how she, like, was trying to not do it or something.
But at that point, there's really nothing she could do.
Exactly, because it was basically passed by then.
Yeah.
It was just do your job and sign it,
mm-hmm.
honestly. But to also, because you brought that up, just a quick tap into what I kind of said in the actual conversation of being, you know, a chameleon or not, is that tradition can be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And because these men are very, very traditional, they feel like they could do whatever, and because of religion and tradition, abortion is bad. You have to remember that there's something about why I don't think a sane woman would want to abort a child if they knew that they can't take care of them, they didn't feel good about it, they may have... I feel like they have that mother, intuition, yeah. You know, and they're like, I just can't. And when you just can't, I mean, yeah, I understand that a lot of us argue, you know, give the baby away, put him up for adoption. But they still would have to face that same pain when it comes back. And they're like, all right, you're adopted. Mm-hmm. Who's my real mom? I don't know if she's going to want you to know. You know what I mean? And all of it just becomes a big mess. But at the end of the day, women should do whatever the hell they want with their body, whenever they want to, however they want to, as long as it's not killing them.
So I guess we can say self-approved is pro-choice.
Self-approved is pro-choice.
I like it. Guess, should we just get ready to psychobabble? We're just on the tear right now. Keep it going.
Let's go ahead and get into psychobabble. But here's the twist to this.
Oh, because a twist.
Everybody knows that psychobabble is about us just babbling about things, right? But remember when I told you about the ketchup? No, not the condiment, the ketchup. Oh. But the ketchup. So instead of doing psychobabble this time, we're going to do the ketchup. And we're going to have one of our very, very close friends.
Hey, Kayla Cat!
I didn't warn you. Only because I wanted to be really...
I had a psychobabble
really,
in the chamber, though. Damn.
Well, no, you can still psychobabble. But here's the thing. We're just going to go off of whatever you say. Yeah. That's kind of like the twist.
Okay, so it's my psychobabble.
So it's still a psychobabble.
Okay.
But we're going off of whatever you say.
Okay, gotcha. So my psychobabble is how stupid this generation is.
Oh my goodness, this is fun.
So did you see in South Africa, Arnold Schwarzenegger was attacked by somebody? He got dropkicked.
By accident.
No, that was not by accident. That kid ran at him and he jumped at him.
He was flipping and he didn't know.
No. I saw the video. It was a clear dropkick. I understand too. Like, obviously the kid was like, you know, Arnold, he's a Terminator. Right. I'm going to dropkick the Terminator. You know for a fact it's all for views. And, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger is 71 years old. He dropkicked a 71-year-old man. Even though he's still big, huge, it's an old-ass man he's dropkicked in the back. It's funny because Arnold played it off because he's like, I even know I got dropkicked.
He said he thought he got jostled by the crowd.
He even realized that's how big this dude is. But it's just so stupid that, because you know 100% this is done for views or likes, for the attention. And it's like, we're at this point where we're kicking senior citizens. Like, what is this? Again, I know it's Arnold. He can handle himself, but I'm just like, no, head shaking moment for this millennium.
It's just wrong. There's no, like, accountability now. People thought they can do whatever they want to do, and they can back it up with, like, well, I'm a millennial, or, you know, I'm expressing myself, or something stupid like that.
One, let's not kick senior citizens. The Self Proof Podcast does not support kicking.
Not one bit.
Citizens.
I'm a senior citizen, though.
It doesn't. And like you said, I definitely get it. I get that you're a fan. I get that you know, you like it. Or you like him, you like the Terminator, whatever. Still, without him knowing, yeah, even more so makes that suck worse. Because he didn't even know. Maybe if you would have got his attention and be like, hey, can I dropkick you? He might have said, yeah, it's Arnold, all right?
It was a coward move as well, because he is completely to his back. They kicked him in the back.
Yeah, yeah, that's really
coward. If
you want
some attention, go face-to-face with Arnold and tell me, like, if you can do that,
honestly, if
then you have my respect.
If I was to walk up to the face of Arnold, I wouldn't say shit.
Exactly.
He just scares me.
He's the big man. He's a goddamn Terminator. What Alien Infernal Predator he was in. He was Rambo. No, what? Not Rambo. He. What else? Other movies?
Was he Rambo?
No, he was Hercules. He
Rocky?
Was.
Let's see.
No, God, that was not him. My bad.
Yeah.
Did you say Rocky?
No, it's all the same. That's my bad. Now I feel like a jerk.
Guess what? You still supported it, because this is still the catch up. Because I didn't know anything about this story, there so we're still catching up. He won't press charges against the attacker. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
He wrote a status, I think, on, like, Twitter about it. He called him an idiot. But he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would press charges, though.
Yeah, he wasn't hurt. But again, it's...
He could have hurt him. He didn't know, like,
he's old
what
man.
He hit.
He's a senior citizen. Like, he goes to the bus, he plays less than me because he's a senior now. I think it's like 65 cents for a one-way
he's
trip.
He's a senior citizen.
It's usually like half of whatever that bus fare is in that city.
Exactly.
That's
so it's
true.
Like, yeah, it's just, again, it's, I think it comes down to this millennial generation, attention-based.
They can do anything they want to do.
Makes me shake my head.
So I just found that, I guess he released a official statement or something. See if I can go back to it. Because I was just at it. I really want to know what this official, like, statement is. Sheesh, it's long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. But basically, they addressed it, happened on May 18th, and they were like, the incident happened while Mr. Schwarzenegger was taking a Snapchat video of a gymnastic competition when an unknown person breached security and proceeded to kick him in the back in full view of everyone who both who was both competing and watching. Their security responded swiftly and handed him over to the police. They said that Mr. Schwarzenegger is fine and still in good spirits. He still carried on with the activities as planned and is fully taking this in his stride. He even joked that some people clearly got more excited than others. He will still carry on with his planned activities, including an event tomorrow at the Arnold Seminar. Oh, he got it. Okay, that's cool. Where his personal mentor, iconic bodybuilder, Reg Park, and weight and powerlifting world champion, Precious McKenzie, will be getting inducted into South African Hall of Fame, he concludes. So he confirmed that he has no intentions of laying charges and his views as unfortunate incident by a mischievous fan. So he basically chalked it all up to
really
dirt.
Stupid. I really thought it was an accident. I swear, I was just like, nobody would ever just kick him.
I watched the video, so you see him come like 4 or 5 strides, and he jumps in the air and hits, like, kicks him with both feet in the back, and I was like, wow.
I really just thought, like, he just was in the way of somebody trying to, like, exercise.
Yeah. See, that would be like, okay, there is faith for this young generation.
I thought he was just in, like, a gym, and it just got, you know, like, wrong.
Let's watch the video. He's so built. Like, that guy is...
See?
Oh my god!
Oh, he actually really kicked this man.
Yeah.
I thought that he flipped like in
two. Oh my goodness.
See, that was a kick. That was a hell of a kick.
Was he angry? I really thought this man was flipping, and that's what happened. I only seen like 2 seconds of the video. Wow.
As the description says, a flying kick. And he was definitely flying.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a flying kick.
So
even a stage combat person would tell you that that was a flying kick. One more time. So this man is clearly minding his business.
Being a nice guy.
Being a nice guy, greeting people.
It's so wrong. It's so wrong.
And he was quickly detained, that's sure. Arnold's bodyguards.
And that's the thing, too, is...
I probably took him outside and roughed him up a little bit.
Yeah, you should have.
They should have. I would 100%... Pro-choice it.
Who raised you? And that's what I'm wondering.
Exactly. And the thing is, though, too, you don't got to put in consideration is that if you get kicked in the back, you can have some whiplash in your neck. Like, again, he's an older, even though he's in terrific shape.
And if you saw the video, when he did it, it literally whiplashed his neck.
Yeah.
I don't, because the video that I seen was just, like, Arnold getting kind of, like, knocked forward.
Oh, yeah.
Well, somebody must have, like, didn't mean to hit him.
Well.
He wasn't some kind of gymnastics thing, so I thought...
This came from ABC7, so I think this is an official video.
Because this is what's gonna happen as well is now they're gonna probably name him, they're gonna probably put his name in the paper. He's gonna get some fame out of it.
That's
what's just dumb.
Like, I'm which is who kicked Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Bringing it back again, millennials or in general, this freaking generation is stupid.
Yeah,
but also this generation is just stupid because. Mm-hmm. Now you see what they would do anything to get views and likes and comments. And you're the guy that kicked Arnold Schwarzenegger in the back. Right. Oh, my God.
He risked going to jail for...
Risk
for
everything.
Yeah.
Like, he don't know if Arnold would have just turned around and just punched him in the face. A good backhand or something.
But what makes me so mad about it is they would have turned it on Arnold. Like, he could have handled that better. They didn't hurt him in the back. Or something stupid like that.
Right.
Right. And like I said, if he would have came up and asked...
Can I kick you?
He probably would have said yes.
Knowing Arnold,
even if he, because most of us would be like, hell no. But he probably would have said yeah. He can handle it. He's the Terminator. He's done all of this stuff. So his body is built. Do you see this man's body?
I mean, I see it. I just feel like
he's huge.
There should be.
I feel like he could handle a kick.
This point though, like,
oh no, that's
him
definitely
just not
true.
Pressing charges. It should be something that he has to do. You kick somebody in the back. But I don't know how they do it over there in South Africa.
Well, it's not even that, though. It's just like, you know, instead of, it's kind of a lesson to everybody. One, they're still freaking humans. Celebrities are humans. You treat them like humans. You treat them with respect. Just
respect
like you
your
would
elders.
Want. Respect.
Because you can't think.
Right, this man is 71.
Crazy.
I mean, okay, maybe you can kick Donald Trump. I don't care. But not Arnold. Everybody loved Arnold. Remember that show, Everybody Loved Raymond?
Everyone Loved Arnold?
Honestly, if they would do a spinoff of that, I would probably watch it.
I think I would watch the first episode just to see what...
Just to see what everybody...
Yeah. What's the angle?
Yeah, that would be funny. But no, I really feel like it just teaches a few lessons right here, which is you still treat people with respect, whether they are famous or not, whether you have bad intentions or good intentions, who knows. But also, don't be a stupid asshole that do stupid things just to get views, because now you're just a viral sensation. And guess what happens to viral sensations? I forget about them after 5 days.
Arnold should just have been a...
Yeah.
Arnold should have just been a chameleon and just blended in. Wouldn't have seen him.
Right.
Done.
Also, you know, or it might have been a good thing that he didn't blend in.
True.
Bam. Boom.
I wish he would have like moved out the way.
Honestly, if he would have moved out the way,
that would have been funny.
If somebody would have just moved him real quick and he would just slam the dude, that would have now that would have been a great viral video. Yes. I would have watched that 1,000 times.
But you've been a person who tried to kick Arnold Schwarzenegger, like.
Well, listen.
Really?
Been the person that did and the person that tried. Which one is funnier? The person that tried and fell and hurt, his body, which is great. So, with that all being said, just don't be an asshole. Don't do stupid things. Treat everybody with respect. And stop blaming on you know, or stop doing stuff just for the freaking views and the, you know, for Vine or for Instagram. Or just where are your values at? If you have actual good morals and values and you've been trained up in the correct way, you won't do stupid shit. Yep, I said it. So don't be an asshole, people. You know what? Wait. Right before we end this, let me just... I don't know if I told you about the story where I was in the dang on store and this little 10-year-old, 11-year-old girl basically called her mama B and slapped her.
Yeah.
Because she wouldn't buy her what she want. So the little girl called her B and slapped her and was like yelling at her. And I went up to the little girl and I caught her hand before she could hit her again. And I was like, don't you ever do that again. And her mom was like, thank you. And I was like, don't thank me. You should get a hold of your child. But also... she's not going to be doing this in public, in front of me, where I love my mom. And I wouldn't dare, not dare one time, raise one good hand. Not even a foot. Not even a middle finger.
Not even a drop kick.
Not even a drop kick. All right, that's the end of this segment. Doo-doo-doo-boop-boop-bow. Guys, thank you so much for watching. If you like it, make sure you share it. Go and follow us on all of our social media platforms over at Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at SelfApprovedPD. That's SelfApproved. And thanks to our wonderful sponsors, Podcoin, the podcast player that pays, and MeUndies. MeUndies.com, the world's most comfortable undies. Love your first pair or it's on us. Super soft undies, socks, bracelets, lounge pants, and onesies. Save big on packs. Free shipping and returns. 100% satisfaction. Signature soft and stretchy styles, adventurous bold, classic. Shop MeUndies for feel-good underwear, loungewear, and apparel with free shipping and satisfaction guaranteed. Memberships are available. Go to MeUndies.com. And one last thing, don't be an asshole to old people, all right? That's it. This podcast comes out every Tuesday at 4:16 a.m. We're sticking with our little trend for 4:16. Be looking out because there's some big announcements coming. Guys, make sure you share it, listen to it. Definitely listen to it on Podcoin, the podcast player that pays. Anyway, I'll talk to y'all later. Bye.
We out.